Welcome to That American Football Show, powered by EP Sports. EP Sports is one of the top suppliers in the UK for all your NFL merchandise. Check them out today at epsports.co.uk. So, week three of the ELF is in the bag. Couple of very big games, couple of blowouts. I know you lot were all watching the football, but I did try and watch every single game. Obviously, good news on the England front, but we're not here to talk about soccer. So let's just jump into a bit of news before we go over the games. Obviously, we haven't got Craig with us today, but 3 out of 4 is not too bad. So biggest news this week, I think it only came out yesterday or today, the Hamburg head coach Ted Deischer and the Hamburg Sea Devils have parted ways. The announcement was kind of, oh yeah, we've got it quoted here. Thank you, whoever wrote this down. The past few weeks have unfortunately shown that we have had different views and expectations regarding the philosophy and leadership of our team. And the offensive coordinator, Andreas Nomundsen, is going to be the head coach this week. So after we all did a little bit of digging on Reddit and kind of on the interwebs, we found out it seems to be kind of a problem that this coach wanted kind of focused on the star players more so than the generally lifting the floor of talent, so to speak. What do we guys think about it? It's pretty sudden, pretty unexpected for a team that's not lost yet.
Yeah, for an undefeated team to get rid of their coach is pretty nuts. But as you say, I think for the future of the league, from what we're hearing, you say the fact that he's not bringing up the floor of the league is, you know, as fans and as people who love the sport in Europe and the UK, it's the best thing. You want the right people in the biggest places to drive the sport forward. So if what we're hearing is true, then it seems like a good decision.
It does seem to be true. And also it shows the league at all levels is very quick to make decisions and take action. So we saw it before last week with the incident that we discussed last week and this one as well. You kind of, yes, it's early to do it, but if you knew it was only going to get worse, you want to build a culture there, just do it early and get it over and done with. So yeah, I think, you know, it's unusual to do, but it's not ridiculous.
It's very league friendly as well, because obviously the EFL's all about, ELF is all about increasing the level of skill across Europe so that the level of competition gets bigger, and then obviously all these leagues in Europe get better, just because if you've got 5-star players in every team, they're just not going to be as exciting when everyone's at a good level. I mean, you saw it in some of the games this week. It's interesting that they've gone with the league approach more so than a win first approach. But yeah, I think it's going to be better in the long run if the league does last.
Yeah, I think every player we've spoken to has emphasised team, how they're building a team spirit. I know we've not spoken to all players in the league, but all the ones we've spoken to have been so much about their team. Even Madre London, who last week didn't really want to talk about his achievements, was talking about the team, about how his offensive linemen, how his wide receivers were helping. It wasn't just him. So I think that seems to be a theme running through the whole league.
Definitely, yeah. It's a very good mentality so far. Speaking of Hamburg, again, they've actually got a junior development league, first one for the ELF. I imagine they're going to want each team to have one, and then across each country, I guess. But junior development league, I think they had their first session last weekend as well. That's great news, getting young kids into the sport. That's in 10, 15 years, that's going to have great repercussions if it kicks off.
It's infrastructure, isn't it? And that's just what you want. You need to build. You just need to build on this league. You know, everyone was kind of worried at the beginning, you know, what if it was just a sort of an idea that maybe fell apart, but the fact that they're taking this seriously and looking to build these foundations, it's just, yeah, it's excellent. And hopefully, you know, when the league's still here in 10, 15 years' time, these boys will be coming through and, smashing it in the ELF.
Yeah, definitely.
It all just points to professionalism so far in the league. They're taking everything seriously. They're trying to set those foundations in place. And whilst there are valid criticisms of the league, I think everything they're doing reactionary-wise, it all points to good management and good future, I guess. Also, a little bit of news we mentioned last week, Cologne, who were having some home stadium struggles. Whilst it's not been fully sorted out, I understand they've at least got the next home game secured at their stadium again. But that's still up in the air kind of moving forward. So best of luck to my potential team. I've still not decided, but I think I'm Cologne. Hopefully they get to stick around at that stadium. On that note, Joe, I think we've had a team change, haven't we?
Yeah, it's tough. Like, it's so hard just devoting yourself to a team and being like, yeah, this is it who I'm going to support, and then watching them play and then be like, Like, you know, we had Jay on the show. I love Jay. He's a great guy, and I'm supporting him, and he's one of the big reasons. But watching three weeks in and being able to see each team play, the Berlin Thunder are just, I just find them one of the most exciting teams I've watched so far. I think their QB is excellent. I just think their wide receivers are great, and everything about them, they're exciting. So as I stand, I'm a Berlin Thunder fan. may change. Not too sure. The problem is when a London team comes in, I'm probably going to jump ship again, but then that'll be me.
You're near enough for City that's a reason.
I'm 40 minutes away from the games, and I'll try to go to like every single one. So there'll be a valid reason. But for this year, yeah, I'll see if I can hop around all eight teams before the
Sea Devils catch the wave.
I don't even know what the Cologne thing is. I still might be a Galaxy fan. I like the play styles of those two teams though. And talking of all the teams, we are going to try and get a power rankings halfway through the season once we've got a good gist of what everyone's play style's like and what everyone could look like going into the championships. But any more news around the league we want to pick up on before we jump into the games?
Don't believe so.
Excellent. Let's move on to the first game of this weekend, the Saturday game. Which had the Hamburg Sea Devils flying to sunny Barcelona to play the Dragons. It was a lovely day for a game. We'll go through the positives first. Barcelona crowd, every single week, they turn up. They're loud. I'll give them huge credit. They are always, like, you hear them on all the cameras. They are really good. And so shout out to them. But the game started really as it would end. The Hamburg offense just got rolling straight away. Nice balanced offense. Between J.G. and Clark, Xavier Johnson and his receiving core. Barcelona, on the other hand, struggled a bit on offense away from the two kind of obvious stars, Zach Edwards and Jean Constant, who had another. I mention them every week, and I will keep mentioning them whilst they have good games. But we do start to see a bit of a lack of discipline maybe on the Dragons team. They missed a first field goal following a big third down sack, a trend that you will see throughout this game. The stats haven't been released yet, but I think there was at least over 10 sacks on the Dragons. They just dominated the offensive line. Dragons defense, all credit, they look good. Whilst Hamburg did score 32, there was plenty of good defensive plays. There was one of the drives had a very generous call for Hamburg with Jean Constant fumbling. I think we see this in another game that maybe they need to get some instant replay on this because there are some very questionable calls. Dragons cornerback Nico Lester had two interceptions in the game, according to my stats, which aren't confirmed. Two interceptions just fall out of his hands, sorry, but both are very athletic. Secondary for the Dragons looks great and forced a second field goal. And then Gene Constant produced a catch of the season. I think me and Tim both sent that into the chat at the same time, but laid out full extension and nabbed the ball, and it was a screamer. But then three back-to-back sacks by the Devils stopped that drive in its tracks. And then Hamburg added another field goal and a punt return touchdown to make the half 23-0. And then in the second half, the Dragons did come out hot. But Hamburg defense forced another missed field goal. Justin Rogers, cornerback for the Hamburg, added a sack and an interception onto his punt return touchdown. Jordan Bragnani evened it out with a really crazy one-handed interception, tipped it into the air and caught it again. That was really nice. I jumped out of my seat and screamed. Unfortunately, Hamburg did start to get a bit of the injury bug, including Xavier Johnson going out with a concussion. That being said, the backup running back came in and just carried on where he left off. And towards the end of the game, Dragons would pump in two quick touchdowns, including a great catch towards Jean Constant and a muffed punt that just landed in the end zone and the Dragons jumped on it. Notes for this game for me, there's a lot of penalties across the Dragons side. They just showed a lack of discipline, I think. And Hamburg, whilst they kind of came out as a defensive stud, they are showing a nice bit of offense across the board. MVP from this game, I've got it for Justin Rogers, defensive back for the Hamburg. Two interceptions, a punt return touchdown and a sack. pretty crazy stats for a defensive back. My honourable mention is Nico Lester, who just showed a lot of athleticism on his side of the field. But final score for that game was Hamburg 32, Dragons 14.
Yeah, it's good that the Dragons have, you mentioned at the beginning, these fans. I think it's important because, you know, we've seen Barcelona play a few games now, and you're right, the O-line does seem to be struggling a little bit. And I just think it's good that they're getting these attendances week in, week out, because things are going to change. As the season goes on, Barcelona are going to get better when the team know each other. So, yeah, I just hope these crowds continue to turn up and watch and support their team, because I say, you know, they're probably, would you say the best fans so far in the league? I think they're brilliant.
Definitely up there, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to my boy Zach Edwards, because he just literally tries to make plays out of nothing, and it is very impressive. But on to the next game, which I believe was yours, Tim.
It is indeed. So I covered the Rocklaw Panthers at Frankfurt Galaxy, which finished 22 Frankfurt, 13 to the Panthers. At one point, it looked like the game was never going to get started. A torrential rainstorm right at the start caused problems with both the TV coverage and the play at the stadium. There was a 45-minute delay just after the game had started, so TV viewers were treated to a German repeat of Man vs. Food. And it's not the good one with Adam as the presenter. It's the new guy, which I don't like, but, you know. Because of the weather, running game was going to be important. Frankfurt, however, without this star running back, generally Adams, he had a back injury. Instead, they opted for a running back by committee, and they went 29 rushes for 88 yards. There was actually a surprising amount of passing in the game, given the weather. Lucas O'Connor threw 18 of 35 for 229 yards, and Jacob Sullivan, who actually reminds me of Marcus Mariota, both physically and the way he plays, threw 16 of 24 for 123 yards. But defences and special teams were the main reason for the win for Frankfurt. O'Connor was picked four times, sacked twice. Panthers D also played well. Carlos Bruins, our guest last week, he had a big game. He was all over the quarterback throughout the game. He had a sack and a tackle for loss, both for negative 11 yards. It wasn't a game for fans of offensive football, but actually it was a really enjoyable game. Even at 0-0, both me and Adam were saying it's actually a really exciting game. One point, though, Adam kind of mentioned it. Elf need to look at replays or better referees. I don't know what the problem is. There was one particular play. There was a punt. It was called for hitting a player of a punting team, which made it a live ball. But the TV replay, the ball was nowhere near. It should never have been. Also, on top of that, when the Panthers recovered it, the play was blown dead. It should have been live, and they should have had a touchdown off the back of that. Saying that, though, one last thing about the league in general, the TV coverage has been amazing. All the angles, the quality of the camera work, etc. It's not really surprising, because the CEO of Elf has got a background in TV production, so it's made some really good, enjoyable watching. So special teams from Frankfurt, these guys really, really earned the win for the team, so they're my MVP.
Yeah, that ball wasn't even close. Like you mentioned it, like it was a good 2 foot away from him, I'd say. And I can understand that on the TV coverage at first, you're like, "Ooh, I think that hit him," but no, it wasn't close. And it's the same. It's the same with NFL refs when they just blow the whistle too early. Just let the play go on, and then come back and have a look.
Just let it go. Let it go, because that should have been a touchdown.
It was a field goal, wasn't it?
No, they missed it.
Bam. Yeah.
It was blocked. In that game, there was about three or four touchdowns that were brought back. And obviously, the Germans obviously explained it. But I watched it. I was like, why?
It
makes sense. My Duolingo is going well, by the way. Ich bin ein... not Frau. That's woman. No, I thought it's not going very well. Man. But yeah, it was like I compared that Ravens Steelers-esque, where it was gritty. It was a tough game for both teams, but it was cracking watching it both all the way through.
Yeah. Our boy Cadell was all over the field as well. Every play, he was round around the ball somewhere.
Did you see the photo he got as well? This photographer, I can't remember her name. She took some photos out of the game, and they were fantastic. And there's a photo of Cadell just in the rain, and it looks quality. But she took a load of other photos. We'll give her a shout out at some point. But yeah, sorry, I can't remember her name.
Okay, so moving on from that game, we'll go on to the third game, which we had Cologne Centurions travelling to the Leipzig Kings. This is probably the first offensive shootout match we've seen, with an ending razor close, 48 Centurions, 47 Kings. Watching this game back, it was pretty bloody good. Madrid London extended his lead in yards and touchdown leader for the league. And the Kings actually had a new quarterback in. Michael Birdsong and Omi the Homie weren't starting, which was a bit of a shock. So going into the game, everyone just thought this was the Centurions' takeaway, but clearly not. The game started with a very nice return from elf baller Quinton Pounds. Get used to me saying that in this review. Followed just by a turnover on downs, it went nowhere. And then the starting quarterback for the Kings, Aweeney, then targets the virtuoso on the field, Alpha Jallo, for a first place 68-yard touchdown catch and run. This was followed up by a 50-yard catch and run by Quentin Pounds to make that 7-7. Then two fumbles on back-to-back drives. Madrid London that would then smash his first of four touchdowns in for this game. And the Kings would respond quickly following a kick return by none other than Alpha Jallo to the Centurions' red zone. Man, he just a heck of an athlete. He got a pass breakup in this as well. So he's just playing on all sides of the fields. And then just following that great return, it was intercepted in the red zone. So balanced offense with Kings having London and their tight end Eichhorn pushing the ball up the field. Resulted in best play game, in my opinion, a lovely touchdown by the fullback. Can't beat it. Aweeney responded then with some fantastic scrambling. If you didn't watch the game, get a look at that. He was really, really quick and agile. And then a 20-yard pass to Dabble Wolf, which is a great name, and a 55-yard touchdown to Timothy Knutel, who we've mentioned quite a lot the past weeks. He's very talented. And the half would end with Madre punching in his second touchdown on a lovely long run. Following on from this, the Kings did move to a bit more of a flexible, multi-threaded offense. And there was a really nice pitch play with Aweeney and Raymond Sabowale, one of our elf ballers, pitched out to Sabowale, and he punched it in for the touchdown. And then who else but Alpha Jallo then got the two-point conversion for that. So going into the half, we got 27-21 to the Centurions. It was then that the Kings really started to put the pressure on, with lots of Aweeney scrambles resulting in a touchdown to Dabble Wolf and another mirrored play to Sabowale where he pitches it out and Sabowale ran in for his second touchdown. And then following the Centurions' fumble, the game was 34-27 in favour to Leipzig. Centurions then readjusted their helmets, which was a great little pun, thank you, and focused on the ground game between London and the fullback Puch. No idea if I said that right, resulting in Madrid London's third touchdown. Dabble Wolf then went in for his second touchdown of the game, which caused the stadium to just erupt. It was really electric. And then who else but Madrid London pounded in a fourth touchdown, which would bring it to 40-34, following a good kick return by Quentin Pounds. And then as we move into the final quarter, Aweeney had another really good scramble. I think it was about 40 yards. And he, following the end of that drive, he scrambled in for a touchdown, bringing it to 47-40 to the Kings. And then the Cologne tight end, Eichhorn, got his first touchdown, bringing it to 46-47 with about 7 minutes to go. And Quentin Pounds would run in the two-pointer to take the lead, 1 point over the Kings. And from here, the Kings just couldn't put an offensive drive together, got a turnover on downs, and the Centurions won in a victory formation there. MVP for this game, it's been said, it's going to be said again, Madre London, 44 carries, which is just ridiculous. 355 yards and four touchdowns. So I think he's just under 1,000 yards in three games. And he's got about 10 or 11 touchdowns.
Pardon? Sorry, 11 touchdowns, 969 yards on the season.
Honourable mention for this. For his first game starting, Jay Aweeney, 16 completions on 31 passes, 341 yards, four touchdowns, one interception. And on the top of that, he had 147 yards rushing, which is pretty crazy stats himself. But yeah, this was a really exciting game to watch all over the place.
Yeah, and that decision to go for the 2 point was class, wasn't it? That's that takes some balls, that does.
I love that. Like, yeah. It's clear in the league that field goal kicking is just not anywhere really scratch the NFL. So then you'll see a lot of people going for 2 pointers either to make up the difference or they're just like, we can't kick it.
Yeah. Have we got a quarterback controversy in Leipzig?
I don't know, because Michael Birdsong's damn good as well. You're right. I honestly could see them both going, because Birdsong's a bit more of a passing orientated one, and Aweeney, like I said, very good at scrambling.
Be interesting to see what happens. Can they trade quarterbacks? Who knows?
That's a good point.
Season trade. So yeah, moving on to the fourth game with Joe's old team versus Joe's new team.
this is so bad, because obviously the new team are beating the old team, which isn't a good look. I'm not a glory hunter, I promise. So the Thunder beat the Surge. Oh, yeah. It is what it is. So the Thunder beat the Surge 40-19. The Thunder got their first win of the season in a very impressive showing against the Stuttgart Surge. A lot has changed with the Surge over the last week, with a new quarterback, Aaron Ellis, starting his first game after being only with the team for a few days. So the Thunder, they got off to a very good start on their opening drive, which ended in Stitt throwing a 5-yard pass touchdown to Shontavious Jones, who earlier in the drive caught a fantastic high ball. I don't know if you boys saw it. It got thrown. It was sort of almost going over his head a bit, and he caught it, almost fumbled it a little bit, but caught it again. It was a great, great little catch. On the Thunder's next drive, Stitt threw an interception to Wenzelberger, and Aaron Ellis, on his first snap in the ELF, throws a perfect 34-yard touchdown to Lewis Geyer, making the game 6-6 as both sides missed their PAT attempts. You mentioned it at the end of that game, Adam, the kicking in this game wasn't too amazing, so there's quite a lot of missed attempts. So Stitt and Jones, they seem to have this fantastic connection. On the next drive, they complete a 39-yard pass, followed by a 29-yard pass touchdown after some fantastic scrambling from the left-handed quarterback. And left-handed quarterbacks, I don't know, I just find them more exciting. That's what Stitt is good at. He can scramble and throws with his left hand, rolling out to the left. It's good fun to watch. The Surge couldn't get anything going on the offense, and the ball was back in Stitt's hands like really quickly. And after a great 36-run yard by, I think it's Jacques Crawford, Stitt threw his third touchdown to Jones. This one was kind of similar to the second one, just a bit of a shorter distance. At this point, the game was 18-6 to the Thunder, and it was getting away from the Surge. After a couple 3-and-outs from both sides, Aaron Ellis and the Surge put together some great offense, including a brilliant toe-drag catch from wide receiver Lewis Geyer again, and soon after got their second touchdown of the game, throwing to tight end David Mezza. They then scored on the subsequent 2-point attempt to make the game 18-14 at halftime. So it was a rather close game at halftime, only 4 points in it. However, on the second snap of the second half, Stitt did a lovely fake handoff to Crawford before throwing the ball over the top to tight end Nikolai Schumann, who ran the ball 66 yards to the house. He managed to hurdle. Two tacklers sort of came towards to dive to tackle him, and he hurdled both of them at the same time. It was great. And it was a great touchdown. The PAT attempt, however, was blocked and returned by Ben Wensler for the defensive PAT, making the game 24-16. A couple of lovely deep throws from Ellis resulted in the Surge field goal to make it a 5-point game with just over a quarter to go. At 4-2 right at the end of the third quarter, the Thunder ran a fake punt. They managed to convert it actually quite easily. The punter was actually stood quite close to the line of scrimmage, and it kind of looked quite obvious. I don't know if that's just me watching it back and knowing it was going to happen, but it did seem quite obvious. And they, as I say, they easily converted it. On the next snap, which happened to be the first play of the fourth quarter, Crawford ran it brilliantly, 43 yards into the end zone to start taking the game away from the Surge. And the game was 32-19 after they converted the 2-point attempt. It was desperation time for the Surge towards the end of the game. And after going for it on fourth and goal, Ellis unfortunately threw it into the arms of Berlin defensive back Paul Seifert for the INT. And straight away on the next drive, the Thunder iced the game in one of the best plays of the weekend. Crawford threw a couple jukes and ran the ball 81 yards into the end zone. Game over, 40-19. my MVP. It was between two boys. It was between three of them, actually. It was between Stitt, Jones and Crawford. But I've gone for Jones. His first half was fantastic. 155 yards and three touchdowns. And I'm going to give my honorable mentions to Crawford and Stitt, who were both excellent as well.
Yeah, Jones actually got the ELF Chio MVP of the week. That being said, do we agree? Who's our Taps MVP of the week?
So we're at the four that we've nominated. It's so hard to look past Madre, but I don't think we can give it to him 3 weeks in a row.
I'll put my chip in. I think Justin Rogers,
who's got
a defensive one, and punt return touchdown, 2 ints and a sack. That's pretty neat all across the board.
Yeah, I agree.
Are we having an official rule change that you can't win Taft's MVP 3 weeks in a row then? I think that's fair.
Okay, I'm bad enough. I can't say, if you blow us away, because he did so well anyway.
I know, it's so hard to not give somebody room for, 300 and something yards for touchdowns.
But is this just an average day for him? This is the thing. What if a good day for him is 500 yards and he's, exactly. You know, and Madre's just fooling us. But no, it's tough. It's hard to look past him, but I agree. I think, should definitely go for your man there, Adam.
Justin Rogers, okay. Yep. We'll try and get him on the show so everyone can have a chat with him. But that's it, I guess, for the weekend. We've got some good matchups coming up next week. Is there any you guys are particularly looking forward to?
We have got next week. I'm just we've got Centurion's Galaxy.
Here whilst I bring the schedule up.
Centurion's Galaxy will be
good. That's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. I'd like to see Madre going up against that Galaxy defense.
That's going to be interesting.
Immovable force versus the immovable objects.
And they're all Sunday games, aren't they? So no Saturdays.
Sea Devils
versus the Thunder.
Yeah, so that'll be the Dragons and the...
That'll hopefully be the Euros final warm-up, Touchwood.
I got given tomorrow off and I don't even watch football.
You got it off?
Yeah, I'm working Saturday, so they give me Wednesday. I was surprised I got Wednesday.
Nice.
Right, but yeah, I think the good thing is every week it's not just dull. Like, there's at least two games a week are exciting to watch, and I'm up every time. Obviously, there are some streaming issues. I think two of the games I watched, there were little... Obviously, the weather in Frankfurt was abominable, so that was to be expected. But overall, it's looking good, it's looking strong. And if you are on Reddit as well, there's game threads in the ELF subreddit, which are always good to speak to fans. I know a couple of us were hovering around and talking, so a lot of good stuff there. But obviously, we're going to be reviewing them each week, so make sure if you think we should bring other stuff up, if there's stuff we're missing, if there's players we're not giving enough attention to, give us a comment or message us on any of our socials and let us know. And where can they find us all, Joe?
Yes, find us on Twitter and Instagram at TAFS_UK, Facebook, That American Football Show. Yeah, that's our socials and our YouTube, of course, which plenty of people will be watching right now.
And of course, make sure you keep an eye out for all our Elf Ballers. We're keeping getting players coming. Hopefully we're getting about two or three a week.
Yep.
Always really nice speaking to them and seeing their stories. Who have we got coming up this week? I think we've got Calvin Stitts, the quarterback. And potentially running back for the Panthers, Pasqualini?
That's probably going to be next week.
Next week. Okay, so keep your ears peeled and we should have these guys on. Again, if you leave us any feedback, give us a like if you like it and tell all your friends about us. But thank you everyone for listening. Thanks. Make sure head over and check out our friends at EP Sports for all your NFL and equipment needs. Just really